The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, a long time ago.
Good morning. Welcome to Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship on this first Sunday in October. We're located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania, but this morning we are as close to you as your own home if you've joined us on Zoom. We're a Unitarian Universalist congregation dedicated to nurturing the spirit and transforming the world. And despite what you may think, we have not gone to the dogs today. I'm Linda Weaver, treasurer at Thomas Paine, and I want to personally welcome you this morning. Wherever you are on your life journey, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, whomever you love, whatever your gender identity or expression, we welcome you into our ever-expanding circle of compassion and caring. We welcome you to our intergenerational annual pet blessing service. We take time once a year and give thanks and bless our companions in life. Cats, dogs, birds, chickens, turtles, fish, and so much more. This service also acknowledges that our lives are made fuller and richer by the creatures that inhabit the earth with us, not just those that live with us. You know, I did a little research on animal blessings, and they originate from the Catholic tradition. However, many Unitarian Universalist congregations have adopted this practice and have made it a uniquely UU type of blessing. Our seventh principle, respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part, is the underlying motivation for many of our UU pet blessing services. I must admit that this is one of my favorite services at TPUF because I love animals and I certainly enjoy having a pet. The most obvious benefits of pet ownership are love and companionship. Did you know that there are also health benefits to owning a pet? They can increase opportunities to exercise, get outside, socialize. Regular walking or playing with pets can decrease blood pressure, cholesterol, and triglyceride levels. Pets can help manage loneliness and depression by giving us companionship. According to an article from Harvard Medical School, we do best medically and emotionally when we feel securely attached to another, because we're mammals and that's the way we've evolved. We feel especially secure with dogs and cats because of the unconditional love they provide. No matter what you do or say, your dog or, now this is, that was the end of the Harvard thing. This is just me. No matter what you do or say, your dog or cat accepts you. Taking care of a pet can provide you with a sense of purpose, a feeling of validation when they wake you up or when you come home and there's someone there who's happy to see you. The emotional benefits of having a pet can also translate into physiological ones as well. When you feel securely attached to this living being, there are biological brain effects that reduce stress response. So it may affect your breathing rate or blood pressure or oxygen consumption or anxiety level. There was even a recent study in the journal Science about how oxytocin is boosted in both the dog and the human being when the dog owner stares into the eyes of the dog. Now that's really fascinating. Oxytocin is one of the body's feel-good chemicals and also plays a role in social bonding. So with no further ado, let's party. Nicole Rooser will do our chalice lighting with the help of Ryan and Corinne McNeil.
Our chalice lighting today is by Reverend Florence Kaplow. She's a writer, editor, and ordained Soto Zen priest and minister of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Urbana-Champaign in Urbana, Illinois. All animals are our relatives. We light this chalice in honor of the animal realm, furred and hoofed, two-legged, four-legged, many-legged, fanged and clawed. Tricky, it's almost invisible. Fanged and clawed, gentle and fierce, wild and tame. May we remember that all animals are our relatives, worthy of our care and respect. Now Corinne will light the peace lamp. May peace be with us, with all the people of the world.
Okay, and now we're going to have our gathering hymn, which is hymn number 230, All Creatures of Earth and Sky. The lyrics will appear up on the screen, and there's hymnals in the back if you want. If you're going to stand, we ask everyone to move to the side so that you don't block the view of others behind you. Thank you. Roll it, John. Okay, for the next part of our service, we're going to do a story, and I would like help from my young at heart or my young folks if you'd come up. And children, you'll notice that there's mats up here for you to sit on with an animal on each different mat. So pick your favorite animal, and you can hold that while we listen to the story. And our story today is called Sit, Stay, Love. And unfortunately, I ordered the book last year, and evidently it didn't stay because I can't find it anywhere here in the fellowship. So I'm going to be reading it from the iPad, and you're going to be watching it up here on the screen. Are you guys okay with that? Does that work for you? Okay, thank you. Now, first of all, before we start, could you tell everybody what you're holding? Corinne?
A rabbit.
Rabbit.
Bluebird.
And if you press the bluebird, it'll, that's what it says. What do you have there? What do you have, Lucas? A turtle. Ryan?
Tiny little brown stuffed Mina.
It was a tiny little brown stuffed Mina. And who do you have? That's the Lorax. The Lorax, yeah, thank you. Okay, come on, Pat. Here we go. Sit, Stay, Love by Charlene Kilduff. There's so much to learn as you grow up. Sometimes the best lessons can come from a pup. As you get big and strong and wise, remember that courage doesn't come from your size. Do the right thing, even when it's hard. Don't go with strangers and stay close to your yard. Obey authority and give respect where it's due. Always remember that someone's watching you. Do your chores and pick up your mess. Give what you can to those who have less. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Sorry, guys. I lost my spot. Yeah, I could just read it from the screen. Duh. This is me having a blonde moment. Share your toys and take time to play. Be sure to get your rest after a long day. Whenever you can, offer lots of snugs. Give your best humans all of the hugs. Love with all you can and with all your might. Be kind to others and do not fight. Be a great listener and always do good. Never sit down when you should have stood. Guide your feet where they should go. Follow your heart and lead it so. Before you go, John, look at these slides. Which way could that dog go?
The good way or the bad way?
The good way or the bad way? Well, you know what? Life is like that when you grow up, too. So which way do you think that puppy's going to pick?
The good way.
The good way. Okay.
The good way leads to a veterinarian because he only has three legs.
Well, okay. I love that. You really have to love that. That was great. Thank you for that. Say your prayers every night. When it's dark, be the light. Be a blessing and help others out. That's what life is all about. I guess he made it to the vet. You saw he had those wheels. May we not just learn life's most important lessons, but live them every day. Pay more attention to our people. Take time to rest. Find joy in the little things. May you sit longer with those who make you happy. Stay a while in the places that bring you joy. And love greater than yesterday, for the days go fast. And I think that's the end. And it is. Okay, so now we're going to begin the other part of our service. Now you guys can go back to your seats and you can hold those pets if you'd like during the service. And we're going to need you probably a little bit later on, okay? So hang in there. Hang in there with us. Okay, so starting us off will be Sheila Sangmeister. And Sheila, I'm going to let you use this mic up here and I'll be turned off.
MacTavish, H.T. McDougall, Saber, Shadow, Cat 2, Hood, Duo, Lobo, Artemis, Walnut, Peanut, Winnie, Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Nope, No Donder or Blitzen, along with many never christened fish, have been a part of the lives of my three children and I, and me. And now, Apollo and Min allow me to share their home. Yes, I pay the rent and the bills, but it is all theirs, they think. As young adults, my three have added Gurr, Ani, Rosie, Dibs, Tina, and Perata to this four-legged and one three-legged menagerie. There have been dogs, cats, guinea pigs, hamsters, and even a chinchilla. Did you know they take a dust bath to clean themselves? Cool, right? As a single working parent, our home was best suited for small creatures and cats who don't require midday outings or feedings. Apollo, named after the sun god, was adopted from a local shelter along with his sister Artemis, who we had for 6 months. Min, whose original name was Mindy, was located in a shelter where she had resided for over a year. My youngest, Bee, said Min watched and waited while Bee toured the shelter. Every time they locked eyes, I think Bee's heart opened a little bit more. Bee is a pediatric emergency department nurse who works the overnight shift, and somehow Min figured out that Bee returned at 8 a.m. each morning, and Min would be sitting high atop the cat tower staring out into the morning light. Bee would look up and see the welcoming green eyes awaiting their return after a 12 and a half hour shift. Last year, Bee accepted a new position at a hospital in Portland, Oregon. That was way too far for Min to travel, so Min was rehomed with Apollo and me. Yes, regular texts, photos, and updates are still sent to Bee. Cats are smart. Apollo will walk to a bathroom cabinet, sit and stare at the door. Hidden inside is a grooming glove. He waits until I open that door and then gets very vocal. I'm sure he has trained me, not the other way around. Min will begin meowing and continue to do so as she picks up a ribbon wand in her mouth. She drags it into the living room, always vocalizing the whole time, and drops it at my feet, sits and stares at me. Is she asking me to play? I think so. Cats are interesting creatures. My two appear aloof or distant, but I prefer to believe they are cautious observers. They wait, watch, choose, survey, and act. They plan, and their decisions are well calculated and deliberate. They are funny and perceptive. If they spoke the language I do, I believe I would hear the following. I'll be here until the food is in the bowl. Maybe I'll wait a few minutes or an hour. I'll stretch and slowly saunter. It will still be there. This string, button, shoelace, pen, moth, plant, jacket, towel, slipper, paper bag, box are all mine for as long as I want. Turn on the faucet. Turn off the faucet. Turn on the faucet. Turn off the faucet. Now, I will allow you to pet me. If you want to give me a belly rub, consider my tucked away talons. Okay, go for it, foolish human, if you dare. Is there a reason why I don't have fresh food? This has been here for 5 minutes already. I'm not sure how I got to the top of the kitchen cabinets or when I'll climb back down again. Hey, did I just hear the foil on the cat treat pouch? I'm very happy to jump up on your lap and see you. Now let me give you a nice front row view of my kitty behind. Bird, bird, look, bird, look, a bird, a bird, a bird. Please go ahead and spend lots of money on that fancy cat bed. I'll still sleep on this pile of papers or in the laundry basket. And don't even think I'll wait on this side of the bathroom door. Uh-oh, the shower's running. Never mind. See you later. Are you comfy sitting here reading? Don't you know a book is an open invitation for me to nap inside its pages? You are a very tall, two-legged cat, but I will continue to take care of you. Oh, wait, nap time. That couch, chair, bed, pillow, counter, windowsill, table, bureau, bookcase belong to me. I sleep there. All the pets who shared our home have taught us patience, kindness, compassion, humor, responsibility, and humility. We have shared joys and grief. They know our moods, read our emotions, bring us comfort. My children and I hope, are better humans for having known them. Blessed are the winged, the creepers and crawlers, the slitherers, the swimmers, and the quad and the tripod. And finally, for those who wonder, there was never a Donder or Blitzen in our clowder. At that time, we were providing a nursery out of our downstairs powder room, caring for feral kittens until they were strong and healthy enough to be adopted. There were six who were rescued from a field behind the school where I taught. Eventually, two stayed with us, Cupid and Comet. One of them only had one eye, and we were pretty sure the second kitten was deaf. The other four were adopted and lived long, happy, safe lives. Thank you.
Hey, everyone. On this next slide, we'll have, this is my cat, Lizzie. I adopted her from the SPCA in 2013. She likes to snuggle with me while I'm reading or to sit on my computer mouse while I'm trying to work. She also likes bird watching, occasional bits of tuna, and listening to Joni Mitchell. I'm not making that up. On this next slide, we have Jack, the handsome gentleman in the tuxedo. We adopted him at the same time as Lizzie. He was meant to be my little sister Kimber's cat, but he loves all his human housemates equally as long as we give him treats. So in 2017, we adopted Callie. She's the little one on the top of the chair. Callie sleeps in Kimber's room, yowls for Kimber's attention multiple times a day, and lets Kimber cradle her like a baby. So I would say that Kimber did get her very own cat in the end. Lizzie and I moved out of my parents' house in 2020. I am actually mildly allergic to dogs, so this was the moment that my mom was waiting for to finally get a dog. So in the back there, you see Nigel. He was my mom's pandemic puppy. And a year later, when she went back to the office, to keep him company, we adopted his little brother, Gus, who has been stealing the show ever since. After my parents' divorce earlier this year, Lizzie and I moved back in with my mom, siblings, and the other four pets. The humans are now outnumbered 5-4. I was reluctant about living with two large, energetic dogs, but they've won me over with their simple, easy loyalty. Even though I live upstairs beyond the doggy gate, and I can never cuddle with them, they still see me as part of their pack. I mean, I talk to them nicely and pat their heads in passing. I let them in and out of the backyard. And sometimes when their mom isn't home in the evening, I even feed them. What more could you want? A house full of pets can be a joy. There's always someone to pet, someone to talk to, someone whose silly antics you can watch. But there's also plenty of scuffles to break up, poop to be scooped, grooming appointments to be made. Personal space can be hard to come by. The dogs sniff people in rude places. Jack follows people into the bathroom. Lizzie interrupts me at work, and Callie interrupts my home yoga routine. Having pets feels different from when I was a kid in the 90s. Now we are pet parents, not pet owners. We're concerned with not just our pets' basic needs, but also their emotional well-being, their mental enrichment. And I would say overall, this is a good thing, but as someone with anxiety, it sometimes gives me one more thing to worry about, especially with social media, which is a place where comparisons can rob you of joy. I have a friend who posts gorgeous pictures of her two cats, Stella and Chloe. They get new toys in monthly subscription boxes. They're fed on a schedule, receiving a carefully measured blend of wet food, dry food, and supplements, and I should know, I've been their pet sitter. And this system works great for my friend and her two girlies, but it would not work for my family. We don't buy cat toys for one thing. Jack would eat the feathers and land himself at the vet, and Lizzie just can't handle her catnip. So our cats, They get plenty of enrichment out of cardboard boxes and chasing dust in the air and watching birds in the window. They also graze at their food bowls whenever they want, a habit that we started years ago when we didn't know any better. And I'm afraid if I try to switch them to scheduled feeding now, they will stage a coup. So I content myself with buying the best dry food for their needs that I can afford and that they will actually eat. I worry sometimes whether my family does enough for our pets, but in the end, I remind myself that we do our best. We give them food, shelter, grooming, medical care. The best thing I can do is stop worrying, sit back, and also give them my time and my love. When the dogs meet me at the front door with wagging tails, when Lizzie, despite her mild arthritis, still gets the zoomies, when I spot one of the cats snoozing in front of a sunny window, safe and relaxed in the home that we've given them, when I'm brushing Jack and he gives my hand a long sandpapery lick as if to groom me in return, I realize that their lives are better for having me in it, and my life is so much richer for having all of them.
This one's going to be a little different than the two that went before, because this isn't just talking about our animals. This is, I was asked if I would be willing to talk a little bit about greyhound adoption. So I'm going to kind of connect the two a little bit here. So for us to start with, Manny and I have been together since high school, but we didn't start living together until we were both out of college. And the very first thing she made clear to me that was not negotiable is that there was going to be a dog in our life. And I was pretty okay with that. My mom was a cat person when we were growing up, so we had cats, and no offense to the cat owners and cat lovers, but cats have staff and dogs have family, and I'd rather be family than staff. So when she made that clear, I was pretty okay with it in the grand scheme of things. But what was interesting is she didn't have a strong preference. It was, we didn't need a lab or a German Shepherd or a rescue from the SPCA, just dog, darn it. Well, what do you want? I went, well, I've always wanted to rescue greyhounds. For as long as I can remember, that's been something that's been in my head, because greyhound racing started in the United States in the 1920s, and greyhound adoption agencies didn't appear until the late 1980s. And tens to hundreds of thousands of dogs were killed every single year to feed the greyhound racing industry. To say that there are few breeds in more need of help historically is not an overstatement. But anyway, I had said this, and my wife was like, but you've never had a puppy. I said, I don't see the problem here. Well, you can't not have that puppy experience. Well, okay, cool, we can talk about that, but you can't get greyhound puppies. And if you do, they cost the same as a small car. So that, well, what about whippets? And she's like, what's a whippet? Well, not those things that high school kids do out behind the school. No, that different thing. They're like, you take a greyhound, you put it in a copier at 50% scale, whammo, whippet. They're actually a loophole dog. In England, you had to be royalty to own a greyhound. So of course, magically, the commoners figured out a way to loophole their way around that, and that's where whippets came from. So we had whippets because I had to have that puppy experience. And then unfortunately, during COVID, our first dog Enza passed, and we were discussing what we were going to do next. And with greyhound racing being outlawed in Florida at the end of 2020 due to a ballot referendum from Florida citizens, we knew there was going to be a lot of dogs that needed homes. And we weren't really ready for a dog, but we said, let's put the paperwork in. Because, you know what, by the time it all processes through, maybe we'll be ready. And then I did a really dumb thing. I said, let's go make sure that the kids and the Whippet are cool with the extra large version. So there was a meet and greet, and we went, and they went, oh, wow, you've had sighthounds for 10 years. Yeah. And you don't have any other small furry animals. Well, no, we've had sighthounds for 10 years. And you have a fence. Yeah, we've had sighthounds for 10 years. Oh, wow. There's like 50 people ahead of you in line, but they all have rabbits or no fences or something else that makes them not ideal. So before we knew it, we had a large black lump in our backyard. He had just turned 2, and his birthday was September 17th, which is conveniently enough Manny's birthday. And his racing name was One Too Many, and his kennel name was Manny. So that we had some kismet going on, but the name couldn't stay. So we had a big argument, and the details don't matter. But our first puppy was Enza. She was supposed to be named Enzo after the founder of the Ferrari car company, but he became a she, and we had to adjust. And now I've accidentally set a bit of a precedent because he's named after Henry Ford. You can have it any color you want as long as it's black. And now I've got to learn the name of every other car company founder in the universe because I need that name list for future puppers. But anyway, enough about us, Greyhound at Rescue. So between 1920 and the 1980s, 18 or 19 states legalized racing. And at its peak, it was a $3 to $5 billion industry. So there was an enormous amount of overbreeding. There were an enormous number of unwanted dogs. And in fact, the breeders themselves said there were basically three kinds, and only about 30% total were suitable for racing. There were racers, there was the subset of racers that were suitable for breeding, and then there was that other 70% of dogs. And they just got tagged as the destroy category. There was no plan B. They were not treated as animals. In fact, Florida passed a law to treat greyhounds specifically as livestock so that animal welfare rules did not apply because it was too inconvenient to treat them like dogs. They get stuck in concrete floored kennels, stuffed 60 to 80 into one basically warehouse, let out a handful of times a day to use the restroom or get trained, fed spoiled meat. Like, it's not a cushy existence. And if they don't do well, they were basically literally just let out and shot. Too expensive and too inconvenient to do anything else. So as more exposés in the 1970s and 1980s showed how horrific the reality of racing was in a lot of places and for a lot of dogs, this idea of adoptions kicked off, and it started off with just a handful, maybe 20 tops, but then by the early 2000s, it had spread to almost 300 different adoption groups around the country that are all trying to help make sure that dogs are able to be taken off the track and those dogs that are not suitable for the track find other homes. Now, fortunately, I talk about the track, there are two left in America. I wish I could say that there are two left because of advocacy efforts by dog lovers, and that's true to an extent, but the reality is casinos on Native American land, sports betting, simulcast betting killed the profitability of dog gambling. So the industry didn't die because people wanted to treat the dogs better. The industry died because it wasn't as profitable as other ways to gamble. And now, ironically, there's kind of been a bit of a flip where there's all these greyhound adoption agencies, but if they say anything negative about racing, they won't get dogs. So they're stuck in a spot where they want to take care of the animals, but if they take any strong stance about the treatment of dogs or the racing industry, they get cut off and they can't help any dogs. So it's a touchy spot. And what's getting even weirder is because there are so few tracks and all of the commercial greyhound breeders for racing have basically shut down, there aren't that many greyhounds being bred in America anymore other than show dogs, which are completely different than racers. They would look like two totally different breeds stood side by side. A show greyhound next to Henry would look like a stick figure drawing. They are not as sturdily built. They are not as well muscled. They're just completely different animals. So what the rescues have done is they've started bringing in Galgos from Spain, which are used in a yearly hunt and then discarded, just like greyhound racers here in America. And they've been bringing over a lot of dogs from Ireland, where greyhound racing is alive and well. So fortunately, there's still a way that American rescues are helping dogs from around the world that are still in awful situations and still need homes. And I guess all of this is really just to highlight people love, not people, everybody, but there's been a lot of conversation between rescues, between pure breeds and breeders, and just what's the appropriate way to bring dogs into your family's life. And I guess I want to highlight that it's not really an either or. There are reputable breeders who do wonderful things. There are people who need hypoallergenic dogs, and maybe a rescue is not suitable for them, but they still would love to have a dog. They need to have options. There are purebreds that are treated like livestock, that are treated like disposable garbage. And they're not mutts, but they're treated every bit as poorly and need every bit as much help as when you go down to the shelter and see whatever menagerie of random unwanted animals may be there. I think it's an important cause. I'm glad it's something we've been a part of. I don't know what their next rescue steps look like, just because the situation with the dogs has gotten so weird and there just aren't dogs to rescue except when they come from overseas, which is good in a way, but a shame too, because they're incredible dogs, and seeing their numbers dwindle and, you know, just the small number of show breeders breeding a small number of show dogs kind of, I don't know, it doesn't have the same appeal as helping a former racer have a comfortable retirement. That's just me.
Thank you, Mike.
Now we're going to, many of you couldn't bring your pets here in person, or your pets are no longer with us, so you've submitted slides for us to see. And we're going to go through the slides, and I'm going to read them so that the folks at home on the Zoom experience can get the full experience. So here's our first pet. I gave this animal the pride of place because today is Mira's birthday. She's a very good girl, and she turned 13 today. So, and of course she's owned by Kathy and Rich Webster. Next we have, and this of course has to go next because it's John and Gail Sayer's dog and Matt Sayer. This is Sugar Magnolia Maggie Sayer. She's still going strong at 14. And now we have the Westington crew coming up. We have Fifi and Leo. The original plan was to adopt only one, but Fifi and Leo are brother and sister, and Susan didn't have the heart to separate them. Here's Fifi and Susan Westington, and Leo and Mary Claire. And that's Eleanor, and I don't know if that's Leo or Fifi. Is that Fifi? Fifi, yeah. And then the next slide is Lily Westington, and Lily is here with us in person today. Hi, Lily. And there's a picture of Lily and Susan. The next slide is Finley. It's Joanne Walker's dog. Finley has been my constant companion and support system. He's a Labrador mix and a rescue. Then we have Finley in the snow and Finley with his dinosaur. Next slide is Harrison Ford McCann. And you can see he's going through, he's really had a tough day of chores. And then in the next to that picture is Harrison is in the forefront and Sweet Pea Pauline is behind him on their favorite perch. I open this window every day that weather allows. And again, that's Karen McCann. Next slide is, this is how they sleep together, always touching. They were adopted at the same time from the SPCA in Perkiomenville. They were strangers, Karen McCann. The next slide, I just love this. Look at that face. That is Duke Hoffman. He's 10 years old. Sally Hoffman says he's loyal, stubborn, and adorable. And you'll notice that some of the slides coming up have a little heart in the corner. That's because they're no longer with us, but we still love them and remember them. Forever in memory, Sophia Moran Lazaro, thank you, Jerry, October 2002 to October 2017, a purebred Himalayan Blue Point Aristocat. Perfect mix of catitude and beatitude. Beatitude? Well, did I spell that incorrectly, Jerry? I think I did. Anyway, forever, and the next slide is forever in memory, Cisco Moran Lazaro, AKA Baby Boy, the big guy, rescued August 2008, a little black, furry, fluffy,
A little black furry flurry of joy and love, Jerry Lazzaro. The next slide is our New Jersey kitties, Squeakers and Ebony Douglas, Becky and Cam Douglas. Our PA cat, Cleo, painted by Sally Bertolazzi. Yeah. The next slide is from Phil Manos. This is King Manos, my best friend from 8 until I finished high school. I believe he was the only living thing that ever loved me unconditionally. I've never tried to replace him. The next slide is Jim Cramer's dad with their kitty. I don't know what that kitty's doing to dad. Look at him. I hope he's not hurting him, but anyway. The next group of slides are from Francesca Zebacosta. This is Pichu, the Zebacosta Camisa's free-range house bunny. She was brought by Santa, is a cancer survivor, is softer and fluffier than she looks, and is a joy for all of us. And then there's some more slides with the kids and Pichu hiding in the plants and peeking around the corner. Now, the next slide is, I have to tell you, sorry, Preston, this is my first love. That was Fritz. He was my first pet, my first love. I inherited him when my mother died in 2003 and enjoyed his company until he died on November 7th, 2011. He was smart and he had personality plus, unlike my current love. Okay, now. This is my second love, both of them. And they bring us joy every day. The next slide is from Susan and Larry Hare. Here are our grand pets, Beaker, Bunsen, and Meringue. This is Cookie, the miracle dog, had a bad dog attack years ago and is here to show survival. And then we have Pixie, gone 2 years now, but forever in our hearts. And I believe that's Sally Bertolazzi's picture of Pixie, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, okay. Next, we have from Carl Mosley. Zoe was my father's German Shepherd when he passed away 5 years ago. Zoe's 14 and still checks the door for dad. Pumpkin is a street stray found a week after Zoe was brought home. They quickly bonded and Zoe plays and protects Pumpkin. They are both with us, Carl Mosley. Now, next we have, is that Mouse? Is that, it's Moose. It's Moose because it's two S's, right? It's Moose Enright. Moose is our 19-pound cat we adopted several years ago. Logan and Lucas give Moose some love. Now we've got to go through this quickly, right? Okay, Harley. Our dog's name is Harley. Our chickens are all grown up and we're getting 8 eggs every day now. So there's Harley out with the chickens. And here's Lucas and a chick, Logan and Harley. And next slide, this is Zia, Kim Renninger's dog. Next slide is Norway, Dorothy Tarka's cat. And the next set of slides are from the Perrys. And this is, David had submitted them to me. I hope you don't mind, I reused them. Here are a few photos, I couldn't pick a favorite, of our beloved cockapoo, the amazing Maisie. Since we adopted her 6 years ago, I guess it's 7 years now, isn't it? Is it 8? Wow, we changed her name from Daisy May. She's been an integral part of our family. Adoption is always a bit of a gamble, but she turned out to be the perfect pet for us, David Perry. Then we have Allison and Maisie. And I love Christine and Maisie enjoying a good read. And then we have cat and dog hangout. Next set of slides are from Lindy Fisher. She has grand puppy number 1 named Denver, and a grand puppy number 2 is Ralphie. This is Ann Rostowski's bird, Skippy. Here's a picture of my pet, Skippy, who died a few years ago. He used to say, "Pretty Skippy is a pretty bird." He was part of our family for over 15 years. Here we have Trilby Stauffer,
He was with Linda from 2010 to 2023, and he was 100% sweet. This is Hieronymus Tolstoy Murata, the pampered king of our household. He brings joy and love to our lives, Deb Murata. And the final slide is from our state senator and her husband. This is Katie Muth and Trevor Muth's rescue dogs. Vinny and Kermit were both rescued from a shelter in Phoenix, Arizona. They, at the time, they were both attending the University of Phoenix. They both have very different personalities. That was Katie and Trevor, not the dogs, you know, in case you wondered. But anyway, they both have very different personalities and brought immeasurable joy to our lives. And that ends our slideshow. And now we're going to have the blessing of the animals. So if everyone who brought a pet would like to bring their pet up to the front, if you have a picture of your pet, you can bring them up to the front and we're going to bless them. And for folks on Zoom, if you would write the name of your pet in chat, we're going to bless your pet on chat. And also, if you want to say their name at the end when we ask you to say the pet's name. Okay. And Jerry Lazaro is going to get a picture of our menagerie. And I think David will too, right? Good. Okay. I love it.
Look at that. Look at Henry and Lily. She's so beautiful. I'm sorry, I missed your picture.
I just didn't want to mess it.
All right.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay. Jerry and David, if you could zoom over here and get the cat because she can't be near the dogs. If you don't mind, can you get another picture of her too? Just get a separate one. We can group them together.
Perfect.
Okay. All right, animals. Are you ready? Humans, are you ready?
We'll try.
Ready.
Okay. Here comes your blessing. We're all okay, here we go. Blessed are the animals. Blessed are the creatures who live with us and need our care. Blessed are the mammals and the reptiles and the birds who teach us we are not alone. Blessed are all living things from whom we learn to love. Blessed are these pets. Please say your pet's name. Everybody say your pet's name.
That's amazing.
And now they are considered blessed.
And in the chat, we have a couple. We have Nikki and Indy Mulholland with their Nola, and also Renee with Luna and Moo Moo.
Okay, great. Okay, John, do you want to do Matters of the Heart? Okay.
Okay, before we start Matters of the Heart, I believe that Indy has something she would like to say, so I will allow her to go ahead.
So this is actually for Matters of the Heart. I might have raised my hand a little too soon, but so my sorrow is that I couldn't be here today because my cat is Nola, and like framed really easily, so she might not be the best with all the dogs there. She's a rescue from the shelter that I volunteer at summer. And I love every cat I see, but when she, because they have a cat of the week, and then, and when my family came to see her, they all fell in love with her too. She's really small and so fluffy.
Okay, so we've now come to the part of our service called Matters of the Heart, which is an opportunity for you to share a joy that's lifting you up or a sorrow that's weighing you down with our faith community. We will have a brief musical interlude while you gather some thoughts, and then we'll start here in the sanctuary. I would ask those who would like to share a joy or a sorrow to go up to the front one at a time and speak into the microphone at the far side of the front area by the piano area. But first, we will have a brief musical interlude. I believe this is from Isaac Strader.
Okay, here's our closing words. Okay.
Animals are truly amazing creatures full of love, loyalty, and inspiration. To celebrate these majestic and incredible creatures, let's be thankful for our furry and feathered friends and help protect them. They show us why respect and kindness should be the norm and why we should never be afraid of any obstacles we face. Let's take the time to appreciate their presence in our lives and the lessons they teach us. I must say that our human beings during today's service were very well behaved, and so were your pets. And now one of my favorite parts of the service is Christine Perry performing her original song that she wrote, and she's going to perform it live. It's called, appropriately, Dog Hair. After that, we're going to have the extinguishing of the chalice, and that will be with Sheila and any of our littles that want to help.
All righty, yes, it's a pleasure to do this song again. I think I did it a few years ago, and we've also played a recording of it, but it's so appropriate. It works so well. This song was written just before we got our dog, before we found her from the SPCA and adopted her. But we were in the process of deciding to get a dog, and I'd never had a pet before at all in my life. So this was a really big decision to make, and what does it cost, and how do we deal with it? And Allison was young and wanted a dog, so it was a good time. A good time in our family to do it. And but you have to go through some thought processes about, are you willing to give the things that you gotta give up or give to have that pet? So this is called Dog Hair. I take pride in my home and keep it clean, you see. That has always been a high priority. But lately I've been feeling a real lack around this place, and I think it can be only filled by a fuzzy face. I wanna have dog hair. I wanna have dog hair on the couch. I wanna find socks under the bed covered with drool from someone's mouth. I wanna have dog hair. I wanna vacuum twice a week. I want to put clean up little puddles when little Fifi springs a leak. I want to have dog hair. Well, careful what you wish, she said. Or traveling can be a bitch, you say. Be careful what you wish. I say, well, when we go away, we'll just pack her bone and dish. What about when they get sick? Big bucks to the vet. I say she and he be our family, best care they can get. I wanna have dog hair. I wanna have dog hair in the bed, 'cause he snuggles with us each night with our feet at his head. I wanna have dog hair. I wanna brush and clip and groom. I wanna find knotty ropes and rubber hot dogs and balls in every room. I wanna have dog hair. Yip, yip, yippee, for little Rex and Skippy. I want a brush and comb, someone who needs a home. We're sending out the word today, give me someone who wants to play and follow me wherever I go and hang out the car window. I want to have dog hair. I want to have dog hair on the couch. I want to find socks under the bed covered with drool from someone's mouth. I want to have dog hair. Yeah, fluffy, cute dog hair. I'm ready for dog hair. Just give me some dog hair.
Thank you. We extinguish this chalice, but not its light, which we will take with us into the world.